Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that very much. And appreciate everyone coming out this evening. It's nice to see you. But whatever, not a full-on sermon, but a devotional. Some people ask, what is Passover? Some people may know. And what significance has it to us Christians today? Well, the Passover is a Jewish festival celebrating the Exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, the Hebrews, and their freedom from slavery. Feast of the Passover is still observed today by the Jews, especially the Orthodox ones, and that includes a special meal called a Seder, a commemorative meal that includes roasted lamb, bitter herbs, and unleavened bread and wine. This evening we're going to have unleavened bread, not wine, but substitute thereof. So there's a significance between the Passover and Good Friday. Get to that in a minute. As we learned this Sunday, that on that first Palm Sunday, the Passover was a pilgrimage festival where the Jews were commanded to travel from all over the then known world to the holy city of Jerusalem and observe the feast every year between March 30th and April the 27th. What's the date today? Does anyone know? Right. Today is the beginning of the Passover, coincidentally. Or is it? No. The book of Exodus tells us the origin of the Passover. God promised his chosen people, the Israelites, to redeem them from the bondage of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And so he sent Moses, his servant, to the king with the command to let his people go. Of course, he was kind of stubborn and he hardened his heart. And he had lots of opportunities to change his mind and do what God told him to do. Now, Pharaoh refused. God sent 10 plagues on the land of Egypt. The worst and final one was the death of all the firstborn children in Egypt. That means if my sister and I were living back in those days, she'd go first. She's 5 years older. She was then, and she still is 5 years older. So that was the firstborn. All the firstborn children would be killed on that fateful night. God told the Israelites to sacrifice a lamb without defect, without spot, without blemish, and smear that blood of the lambs on the doorposts and on the lentils. And when the Lord came at midnight, he would see the blood, and he would pass over those houses, and the inhabitants within the houses where the blood was smeared on the doorpost, the lentils, he would see the blood, he would pass over, and the inhabitants in those houses would be saved from God's wrath. We hear so much about the love of God, and yes, he's a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath, and the wages of sin is what? Death. It was only the blood of those lambs that saved those Israelites from death. The Passover and the story of the Exodus have great significance for us Christians today because Jesus is our Passover. Jesus was killed at Passover time, and the Last Supper which we'll be remembering, was when he and his disciples had the Passover meal together. That would include roasted lamb, bitter herbs, unleavened bread, and other things as well. You know, he just didn't have the unleavened bread and the wine. He had other things as well. It was a typical Passover meal that the Jews, all the Jews had at Passover time. That's what the Last Supper was, the Last Passover meal with his disciples. It tells us that in Luke chapter 22. It says, "Then the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed, Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover.'" In order to prepare a meal, you know, you have to eat, before you eat the meal, you have to prepare the meal, yeah? Unless you get a TV dinner or something. Just throw it right in the microwave and boom. I've been living on those for a couple of weeks. My wife's been away for good reasons. Not as good as her cooking now. Thank you. All right. So by spiritually applying his shed blood on our lives, the blood of Jesus Christ on our lives, by faith, when we trusted in him, when we first trusted in him to save us from our sins, his blood washes our sins away. Amen? He washes our sins away. The Israelites, who by faith, they had to do it, remember? They had to be obedient and do it. And those that didn't do it were going to die. The firstborn was going to die. By faith, those Israelites applied the blood of the Lamb to their homes. They become a model for us Christians today. It was not their ancestry, because they were Jews. It wasn't because they were good. Maybe some of them were, but the Bible says there is none good. No, not one. Compared to God, we all fall short of his glory. It's nothing to do with what they did, apart from applying that blood and being obedient by faith to do it, that saved them. It was only because the blood of the Lamb was applied that made them exempt from death. That was all. So the New Testament establishes a relationship between the Old Testament Passover lambs and the Passover lamb. Who's that? Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. That's why we remember his death. It happened just over 2,000 years ago. The greatest prophet of all, according to Jesus, and he's always right, was John the Baptist. He was the first Baptist. No. John the Baptist, when Jesus came to be baptized in the Jordan River, John pointed to him and said, "There he is. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Not just covers it, he took it away. The Apostle Peter, in his first letter, 1 Peter 1, 18-19, also links the lambs in the Old Testament with the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And Peter said this, "For you know that it was not with perishable things," because everything's going to perish, "not with perishable things as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Only Jesus qualified to be called one who was without blemish and defect. Why? Because he was completely without sin. in the book of Revelation 5:6, John the Apostle writes, "Then I saw a lamb looking as though it had been slain." And Jesus was slain that Good Friday. I saw a lamb looking as though it had been slain in the center of the throne. We Christians, glad you're here tonight, we commemorate, and I'm surprised, there's a lot of churches. I had pastors meeting on Thursday, and they're not even commemorating or celebrating, whatever word you want to use. They're not meeting together. Not that I'm judging them, but they're not even having a Good Friday service. So I'm glad that we're having one, amen? I'm glad we're here tonight. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we're doing this. Because we Christians commemorate Good Friday, or we ought to. Because Jesus, the Messiah, was crucified during the time of the Passover was being observed. The Bible says that believers, you and I, have symbolically applied the cleansing sacrificial blood of Christ to our hearts, having believed by faith what he did for us on the cross, and now we've escaped death. Yes, we're going to die physically, but we can never die eternally. You know, that's amazing. Not because we deserve it, not because of our ancestry, not because that we're good, because we're not. Because he loved us. He did that. He sacrificed himself. Just as the Passover lamb's blood applied caused that destroyer to pass over each household that fateful night, Christ applied blood causes God's judgment to pass over us sinners. He sees us in Christ. He sees the blood that's applied to our hearts because we believed in what he did by faith on the cross, giving us a spiritual life to all believers for the gift of God. And it is a gift. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, just as the first Passover marked the Israelites' release from Egyptian slavery and bondage, so the death of Jesus on the cross marks our release from the slavery of sin. I'm going to close with this. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, spiritual life, eternal life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Amen.